When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Whoops.
L.
Forgot to turn my mic on. It's a Football Friday on the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Ike, how are we feeling?
Spike Lee, it's Football Friday. I'm ready to roll. Jackie Baseball, hope you got some good news for us today. Holla at you, boy.
You know, we're in wait-and-see mode with old Juan Soto.
Oh.
But we'll get there.
Yeah.
They might get a meeting with them. They're the half team, according to John Heyman.
I'd rather be half team than no team.
That's exactly right.
I'd rather half be on the list than not be on the list at all, my friend. We have a big show as we do every Friday. Nick Costo is going to join us in about 45 minutes, give you your picks for the weekend. Costa's been pretty good lately. Elliot will join us from Los Angeles at 3 o'clock. Unfortunately, we'll have a Tornado Shapiro forecast at 3:30 for a game with a dome. I don't know why we need a forecast for a game with a dome, but we will. Jaws at 4, Lincoln Park, tickets at 4:30. Tommy Down the Shore. It's going to be a big show. Wow. How do we fit that all in 4 hours? Seems like a lot. So I was thinking, as I do constantly, and it came up during the conversation with Sheil yesterday, and it was a big conversation for us, I would say, about 3 weeks ago. It was right after Saquon Barkley, I think, had 30 touches in a game. And we'd all agreed in the beginning of the season, we'd like to see that number around 20. I think that's the number we wanted to see. Yeah. Maybe even a little lower than that.
Whatever. No, I said 20. 20 touches, yeah.
And here we are. The Eagles have won 6 in a row, but we're on the track for him to have more touches he's ever had in his career. 370 plus. We go to the playoffs. We end up with 400. We all know what that number means for running backs for the next year. It means they're not really productive the next year. But that worry 3 weeks ago seems to have gone away. And I think it's because of the success of the team and maybe because we don't see a way to win these games if we are not giving Saquon Barkley all those touches. But I think that worry going away is a mistake. And maybe not worry is the word, but I haven't given up hope that we should find a way to get Saquon's touches lower for the rest of the year. And here's why I think it's so important. First of all, this offense, this personnel, is likely going to be almost exactly the same next year. We're going to have the same quarterback. We're going to have the same wide receivers. We'll probably have one of the two same tight ends, same offensive line. So if Saquon Barkley is this important this year, we're also going to need him next year. The other thing I would say is not every running back that we've ever had is Saquon Barkley. In fact, not any running back we've ever had is Saquon Barkley. However, behind our dominant offensive line, we've seen success with a number of different running backs. So they can have success running the ball without Saquon. We have a dominant offensive line. And I'd also say the other thing is the number one seed, which we all are thinking about a little bit, I think is a bit of a pipe dream. I would think as well. So if
why is it a pipe dream?
Well, because I don't see enough. I see more losses on the rest of the schedule than would make the number one seed, at least in my eyes. I guess it's possible.
It's not a pipe dream. They're one game behind the other team with 7 games to go.
Right, but they're going to have to finish a game ahead of them.
Well,
right?
We don't know that. Well,
possibly a game ahead of them. My point is this. Everyone says that they can get Saquon less touches by being up a lot at the end of the game and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. I think it's something the team needs to build into the game plan. I've seen enough this year to know that if they look at a set of downs in the first quarter, the second quarter, the third quarter, the fourth quarter, and make sure that Gainwell is in there for Saquon, we can find a way to preserve him a little bit better, still have a really good team, still keep our same goals this year. But the fact that we have all given up hope on having, potentially even having a productive Saquon Barkley next year, for this year, I think is a mistake. I think they can be likely as successful, and they can save him. And I think we've made a mistake in forgetting about that.
Well, I mean, you would have to sell me on how we're going to be as successful without using him less. The team is completely reliant upon him. He's the MVP of the team. And I think you're completely wrong with the whole pipe dream. It may not happen, but it's not a pipe dream. They're one game behind Detroit. We'll see how Detroit finishes out the season. They still have some tough games on their schedule. I don't know what the conference record is going to look like, what the tiebreakers are going to be like, but with seven games to go and only one game behind a team, it's not a pipe dream. It's far from being a pipe dream. And quite frankly, if winning the Super Bowl is your goal, then having that number one seed and home field advantage is your best chance to achieve that goal. You don't believe the Eagles can go to Detroit and beat Detroit.
Well, I think it's more likely they'd beat them here than beat them in Detroit, of course.
Exactly.
We both agree there.
Yes. But so that's why you want the number one seed and you want the home field advantage. So until that's not attainable, Saquon, I got to ride Saquon like Seabiscuit. Sorry. Taking everybody to pound town,
I just think it's funny that 2 weeks ago,
yeah,
nobody wanted to go all in at the trade deadline,
mm-hmm,
right? Nobody wanted to take a shot at the trade deadline because we all wanted the future and we all wanted next year.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Saquon Barkley is going to be as important to the team next year. And these other teams that are running the ball, as much as they're running the ball, most of them are doing it with more than one back. And I have enough confidence in the offensive line. I have enough confidence in Kenny Gainwell to say that
Well, you're the one person in the city who has enough confidence in Kenny Gainwell that you want to give Saquon the ball less.
It's,
nobody else has that amount of confidence Gainwell.
It's one touch a quarter. It's one touch a quarter.
I don't know how it.
It's one touch a quarter.
Out. All I'm saying is just hearing the idea of you got enough confidence in Kenny Gainwell to give Saquon Barkley less touches and think we're going to be just as good. That is crazy thinking. And quite frankly, worrying about next year right now isn't something the Eagles should be thinking about. And I know it's nothing the fans, anybody in their logical mind is thinking about.
Absolutely they should be thinking about it. They're paying Saquon Barkley $12 million next year, whatever it is. It's a cap hit of,
yep,
I think, $10 or $9 million next,
mm-hmm,
year. You just said he's the MVP of the team.
Yep.
So we're kissing
of the league, basically.
So we're kissing goodbye the possibility of the MVP of the league being nearly as effective next year,
yeah,
for this year for, yeah, essentially a touch a quarter.
No, to win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, I think you can win a Super Bowl doing that as well. And by the way, you're going to need him as effective in January and potentially February as well. And all,
yeah,
these touches add up to that as well.
Well, I tell you what, the way the Eagles can do that is by going out and blowing teams out. That's the only way. But going into a game?
Well, they haven't proven they can blow teams out.
Well, they've blown some teams out.
Well, early enough in the game, I think.
No,
most of the blowouts happen in the fourth quarter.
And because of who?
Because of Saquon.
Okay.
Well, but what I'm saying is it's not about the end of the game. It's about the game plan for the entire game.
No.
Yes.
No, because this offense has shown us what it is. And I'm listening to Howard last night dribble, 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 drabble out his mouth about
the Eagles
and what they need to do to win games. Dude, this is a running football team.
So run it with a second back.
It's a running football team, and this dude is the engine that starts it all. We aren't good enough. I'm sorry. I wish we were. I wish we were good enough that we got out to big leads by throwing the ball to AJ and Devontae and Jalen was cooking with grease at the quarterback position, and we didn't have to rely on Saquon as much as we do. I've watched this team just like everybody else has for 10 weeks, 11 weeks. They need Saquon. They need him. He has been the guy. I haven't seen Jalen in the passing game start a game fast and be the driving force of this offense. Not one game. Not one game this year.
I'm not saying to throw it more.
But what you're saying is go to lesser players.
Right.
So the only way I'm willing to go from Saquon is to go to my other star players, Jalen, AJ, and Devontae, and Dallas Goedert. I'm not going to Kenny Gainwell. To not get Saquon the ball. So if I'm not going to give Saquon the ball, I'm going to get a ball to my other all-pro Pro Bowl caliber players, not my backup.
Well, and you already agreed we're not going to throw the ball more.
Well,
so,
I'm saying if that's what we're going to, if we're going to throw the ball better, then I'll move away from Saquon. But I'm not moving away from Saquon for Kenny Gainwell.
All I'm saying is we've been a successful running team with this offensive line with DeAndre Swift. We've been a successful running team with this offensive line or an iteration of this offensive line
better?
With Miles Sanders. Jalen was playing
better. Yeah, the passing game was a lot better.
Well,
the passing game was a lot better. That's not the case with these guys. I don't know what to say, but 26 is where it's at.
215-592-90.
26 touches a game.
26 now.
I love when we go numbers.
Yeah, you're going to put the dude into retirement by February.
Let me tell you what.
Yeah.
If it gets us a Super Bowl, I don't care.
And if it doesn't, I want to have a chance to win a Super Bowl next year, too.
Well, guess what? We got Will Shipley, who's going to be introduced to the Exciting Whites next year.
Okay.
He's going to be a big part of that crew next year. Yeah.
Real quick, do the Niners regret what they did with Christian McCaffrey last year?
Bet they do.
No.
I don't think they do.
No. What?
I said, I agree with you.
Oh, you said you think they? I thought you said they do.
I don't think they do.
Right? Yeah. Okay.
And look at this year. They've basically kissed away a season.
Yeah, because the receiver was unhappy. He held out all training.
And because Christian McCaffrey didn't play for the first 7 weeks of the year.
But when Christian McCaffrey wasn't even playing, they still had one of the leading rushers in the league until he got injured. With that guy, my point is that they got to the Super Bowl. There's no way they regret using McCaffrey last year the way that they did. It gave them a chance to win the Super Bowl. It's their fault they didn't capitalize on McCaffrey's great year. It's not because you used Christian McCaffrey. It was a mistake. No, you didn't take advantage of the opportunity when Christian McCaffrey was at his best to actually win. You lost the Super Bowl by deciding to kick a damn field goal. That's Kyle Shanahan's fault.
215-592-9494. Do you think the Eagles can still monitor Saquon's touches, get them down, be successful this year, and then have them for next year? We're all going to be here next year. I assume. 215-592.
Yeah, ideally, the shows will be here next year.
Corey from Columbus, you're on WIP.
Man, listen, y'all got to give the beat writer you need some credit. He told y'all about the 49ers. He said.
He didn't tell us about anything. The 49ers evidence was there from day one.
Everything he's right about, he's lucky about.
Hey, what are you talking about?
He said the 49ers, every team that go to the Super Bowl, always regrets the next year. He said it in week one.
Corey, that was evident from the time he was saying it about the Eagles last year. We've been saying that. He said the same thing. But it's not breaking news it's 20 years of evidence.
Right. I'm just saying he said it. So it's like, what the 49ers doing right now, that ain't.
What I'm telling you, he says, common knowledge is the point I'm making.
Elliot will take credit.
Common knowledge.
Elliot will take credit for a lot of things. We don't need to give Elliot extra credit.
That's like saying the Cowboys aren't going to win the NFC East because no team has won back-to-back NFC East divisions in over 20 years. Okay.
But what I'm saying is,
that's not breaking news.
The 49ers having McCaffrey, like McCaffrey being hurt, they was going to, even if he was healthy, There was chance of a regression. That's what I'm talking about. Like, McCaffrey being there, not being there, it might have helped a little bit, but, like, they was going to regress no matter what. That's what I'm saying.
Okay. A little bit. Okay.
He said, now you're making sense. You're saying even with him or without
him, McCaffrey,
it was going to be the same thing. Okay, I got you.
There anyway.
I got you now. I got you.
When I look at the Eagles, like, when you look at next year, I don't care about next year. Like, we got to do whatever we got to do to win right now. See, next year, like, I know Jalen Hurts, like, fine, y'all not high on him, but, like, that's going to be his second year in the offense because Kellen Moore not going nowhere. So, there's going to be a prove it there. He's going to have 2 years in the offense. Like Spike just said, we're going to add Will Shipley to the Exciting Whites. But I feel like we should preserve Saquon, but we got to do it in key situations. Like, it's like Saquon Barkley, don't just continue to, like, run him the ball right at the middle every single time. Like, this guy Kellen Moore, you're supposed to be a genius. Like, give him some ball outside, you know, give him the ball in the screen game. I mean, I know we can't, run the screen.
Yeah, right. Somebody's got to be able to throw the pass there.
We got to be in more creative ways to get Saquon.
I wonder.
He called himself.
Yeah, Corey, I wonder how we could get him the ball in that way. Who is responsible for doing that?
Okay, but what I'm saying is, like, you sit up here and act like Jalen Hurts is just trash.
Superman throw a screen pass.
But Superman is the running back.
Oh, okay, sorry. But who's Michael Jordan.
Jordan.
Michael Jordan,
the famous.
Yeah.
Superman, the running back.
Sorry. Michael Jordan.
Batman is the receiver, and Michael Jordan the QB.
All right. Well, if Michael Jordan could throw a screen pass, maybe we'd have a better chance of getting the ball to Saquon in space.
We got to be creative in getting the football to him. Like, even if it's zone outside, you know, like, you can use the double backs, like how they do in Detroit. Put both of them back there. So, you know, mix it up. Like, Saquon back there, but you giving Kenny Gainwell the ball.
That's fine. That's like, fine.
You got to be creative.
Oh, love a pony package.
Little 21 personnel. That's 21, right? Two running backs? I think
yeah,
so.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah.
Like, and you sit up here and you saying just like absolutes. Like, oh, it's a pipe dream to get the one.
Nah, put that away. That's a different conversation. No. What I'm saying, honestly,
well, that was part of your reason as to not use Barkley.
It was, but it's not really. I think we can, I said it, and I understand that.
Yeah.
I think we can win the same number of games doing it the way that I'm saying that we can do it.
I feel like if you're looking at the rest of our schedule, like Sunday, that's going to be a tough test. They got exciting whites on that side too. And then you look at the Ravens game. After that,
Steelers.
I'm not afraid of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Like I'm not afraid of the Panthers. I'm not afraid of none of the NFC East teams. So it's like you sitting up here looking at possibly maybe one on like a bad day, two losses. Man, come on, like. Do what you got to do to get the one seed. And if that's ride Saquon, ride him. Take everybody to Pound Town. That's the motto.
Pound
Whatever
Town.
You got to do to get there. We will rest Saquon late in the year.
That's actually
a good point.
Hold on. Time out.
Yeah.
And thank you for the call, Corey. Let's talk about the idea of resting Saquon late in the year.
Yeah.
Even if you wind up with the one seed, the odds of you being so far ahead in the last game or two of the year.
Well, how about the two seed?
Well, two seed would be great too.
No, I'm saying if you wind up with the two seed, if they fight for the one seed and then it gets down to a game or two to where they realize they won't get it, then you can always rest Saquon in the last game of the season.
Yeah, but I think it's about more.
If you got the two seed locked up.
Sure, but I think it's about more than that. I think it's about more than a week off.
That doesn't make sense. What do you mean? If you're getting a week off from touches, that's 20 plus touches. You're not getting that week.
Yeah, but if you are, it is. But if you're beating him up for the next 7 weeks and then he gets 1 week off, I don't think that's the same as keeping his touches lower through those 7 weeks.
So if they give him,
and that's no guarantee, by the way.
Well, yeah, nothing is. Yeah. But if they give him two or three less carries over 3 weeks.
I'm saying three or four less carries a game.
Okay.
Three or four less touches a game.
Okay. That's still 20-something touches.
Yes. But I think you're talking about
a
scenario.
But he's playing every game, still getting the ball 16 times a game.
Sure. Yes. Well, he's at 22.5, I think. So,
why are we getting caught in my only point is that you're doing is spreading it out.
Yes, but you're taking for granted that you can rest him the final week.
We're taking everything for granted. What I'm doing is saying until it is absolute that we don't have the number one seed, you try to get the number one seed. But if you get to week 16 and you've already lost to, say, the Rams, and you slip up and lose to somebody else, and it looks like you can't get the number one seed, but you got the number two seed locked up, he can always use the New York Giants game as a bye week and not play that week.
Sure, but that's an if. I don't know if that's going to happen.
It's all if.
It's not an if to commit to giving him fewer touches every week. I don't think that's an if. I don't think my plan is an if. Now, no, it's an if in that...
It's an if and if they don't win. And I'm not...
Yes.
Giving him less touches to sacrifice victories. That's really what we're talking about.
Well, you're sacrificing victories next year then, potentially.
I don't care about next year.
Well, I do. 215-592-9494. That's fine. Dan in Garnet Valley, you're on WIP.
Hey, fellas. Thanks for taking my call. Just hearing the conversation, I think it makes sense, like you're saying, I think it's game specific as far as, you know, what's going on in the game. How much time you give Saquon versus the other two backs. Like just mentioned, those guys are going to be future running backs, but why not use them now? And when you see an opportunity, each game's going to dictate as far as what's he doing out there, how much pounding he's taking, and spelling him a couple, you know, for a little bit as far as, make him fresh in January and February when we need him.
Yeah. Let me ask this first question. First of all, you got to get to January and February in a good position. So you can go home in the first round based on your seeding, based on where you're at in the playoffs and who you face in the playoffs. You agree with that? Would you rather be the two seed and face a seven seed, or would you rather be a four seed and face a five seed?
Yeah, I agree with that. But you know, mate, you got to, like I said, I think it's game specific as far as what's going on in each game. And what the score is, a lot of other.
Yeah, I know, Dan, but we're having a conversation right now. I can't predict exactly how every game is going to unfold over the next 2 months.
Right.
So
right,
what you're trying to do is say, in a perfect scenario, we wouldn't have to use him. We could be up early, and then we could take carries away from him. We can blow every team out. And I'm okay with that if that happens. My point is I'm not sacrificing my ability or my chance to win games by not giving Saquon the ball early in games. If we get to a fourth quarter and we got a double-digit lead and it looks like we're going to win and you want to give Kenny Gainwell the rest of the carries, be my guest. We did that in Dallas. With no problem. He had 14 touches. I had no problem with that. Kenny Gainwell played the whole fourth quarter. Yeah, if you tell me every game is going to play out like that, great. I'll go with it. But you can't guarantee me every game is going to play out that way. You're going to be up on Baltimore that way? You're going to be up on the Rams that way? You're going to be up on Washington when you go to Washington that way? That game in Washington could be for the division.
Right.
We're not going to play him? We're not going to give him as many touches in that game?
No, like I said, but you know what? As you said, there's no guarantee for anything, right? As far as what goes on.
That's why once the picture is clearer, you can make that decision on how much you want to rest him late in the season.
Right, right. Yeah, and I just believe you got you know, two other complimentary backs back there that every once in a while you can give him. I mean, you look at times when he's raising his hands and he wants to come out and take a break. I mean, I relate that to as far as somebody making that decision as far as we're going to use Gainwell, we're going to use Shipley as far as just to give him a spell and maybe just give him a little bit of long.
That's Saquon. I got no problem with doing what's already being done. But see, here's the thing. He's doing that and he's still getting 20-plus touches.
Right. Yeah.
So
he's
coming out. Let Kenny Gainwell go in there and get some run. He's still, you know, why he's getting 20-plus touches, Dan? Because we need him to get that in order to win football games.
Right. Right. Yeah. I agree with your whole argument. I just gotta, you know, I think that you're in the position now as far as just be a little bit more cognizant of as far as what's going on with him and how much of pounding he's taking each individual game.
Where we going, Jack? Taking everybody to Pound Town, baby.
Thank you for the call, Dan.
My producer, he knows.
There he is.
He knows where we're headed.
There he is. Fingers a lot quicker.
Screw next year, by the way.
Yeah. Oh, well, your opinion doesn't count on this one.
Oh, why?
Well, because you're not even an Eagles fan.
Well, there might be an ulterior motive, but screw next year.
Yeah. And by the way, if he is worse next year, you can blame Jalen for it, and that is that
easy.
All. Yeah, that's all part of your.
I will say this to that, because that I would have brought that up eventually. If say we get to the Super Bowl and don't win it, when we get to the NFC Championship and don't win it, but we had to basically ride Saquon to get there, and he's not as effective next year. It is on Jalen.
Oh, it certainly in part. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you need to be better in the passing game so we don't have to rely on Saquon as much next year. It is on Jalen.
215-592-9494.
What?
Can the Eagles limit what? Go ahead, Jack.
Well, I just got a show question.
All right.
What? Now, I have used this drop to refer to the Bronco. Are we bringing it back out for Saquon?
Nah, people get confused.
All right.
They may not want the juju on
Yeah, you want to put Carson's juju on Saquon?
I don't know what juju means, but
yeah. We'll leave it at that.
Yes.
But I'll find a different horse name.
Yeah, okay. That works.
Yeah,
all right.
That's Carson. Yes, yeah, that's Carson. I like the thinking, though.
All right, because we were riding them.
215-592-9494. Can the Eagles limit Saquon's touches the rest of the year? I say yes. Ike says no. Now, speaking of quarterbacks, and I will explain this next, I am going to propose to you two a change in the quarterback room for the Philadelphia Eagles this season. So that is coming up next. Are you ready for it?
No, sure I'm not.
Okay, all right.
Are you sitting down?
That is next.
Yes, I'm sure I'm not.
That is next on the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike Spiekin.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Fritz.
Yeah, it's back.
Yes, back when the good stuff was happening.
Yeah.
Back in the good old days of AJ and Big Justice, before they were cooked.
Yeah, they well, listen, they're stars now.
Yep. Well, it's almost over, I feel. Every single day on your FYP. The Twitter question is sponsored by Mark's Jewelers, the official sponsor of the WIP Afternoon Joe Fantasy Football League. Start your holiday shopping, marks-jewelers.com. Are you worried at all about Saquon's touches for the rest of the season, or is it not a concern? What do you think the Twitter poll reaction here is, Ike? Saquon touches for the rest of the season. Are you worried, or is it not a concern?
I think there's a fair amount of people worried, so I'll go with 58% worried.
77% of people say it's not a concern.
Oh, now, well, that's what I meant. I meant 58% not a concern.
Wait. Yeah, 77 not a concern. Like, even if you
we're
think...
We're in the moment now, that's what it is.
Yeah, even if you think... You should keep doing it. It still should be
in the back of
a
your mind.
Little
yeah.
concerned.
Oh, yeah, it's there.
Because
yeah.
I would say you want to do it, but you're still a little concerned at
no
the same
doubt.
Right.
No doubt. Yeah. I don't think it's crazy. Like you said, we were talking about this a few weeks ago. I just, what's happened, Spike, honestly, for me, is that I've yet to see the passing game evolve to the point where I can say we don't have to rely on Saquon to lead the offense.
Sure.
I've yet to see that.
So before we get back to that part, I mentioned before we took the break that I am going to propose a change to the quarterback room for the Philadelphia Eagles.
About that, yeah. What are you thinking?
So today, the New York Giants released Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones went into John Mara's office, which sort of explains his sort of tear-filled statement yesterday.
Oh, man, that makes sense, yes.
And they released him. And I would today... cut Kenny Gainwell and sign Daniel Jones.
Not Kenny Gainwell.
Kenny Gainwell. Kenny Pickett. Sorry. I want to give Kenny Gainwell the ball more.
Yes. I thought you wanted him to have the ball more.
Yeah,
I would cut Kenny Pickett. And what I would do is, of course, you can't have Daniel Jones be your number two QB right away. I would move up Tanner McKee for the moment. And
he's already better than Kenny Pickett.
He is. And let me say this about Daniel Jones. He is a coward, and I saw it in his eyes.
Oh,
and,
God.
And he was not... He was not good in New York most of the time. But in the 1 year I saw him be good, I do think he has the physical tools to be a good quarterback. I do think that whatever was happening in New York took away whatever chance it was ever going to happen. It's obviously a bad team. It is, it's crumbling. There's a lot of pressure there on him. I do think he has the tools to be a good NFL quarterback. And the Eagles signing Daniel Jones and potentially even having him as a backup next year, I think puts them... Do I think Daniel Jones is ever going to be a starter here? No, I don't. But I would feel far more confident with Daniel Jones in there than Kenny Pickett. I feel far more confident in the future of Daniel Jones than I do in the future of Kenny Pickett. Kenny Pickett is never going to be the starter here. If you ask me... If one of those two guys, who has the better chance of working out, I'm going to tell you it's Daniel Jones every single day of the week. So, it's not the end of the world one way or the other, but I have seen in the NFL Daniel Jones be a good quarterback. I have never seen in the NFL Kenny Pickett be a good quarterback. So I would sign him in a second. And I think it would be good for him. By the way,
yeah, I'm sure it would be good for him.
Well, as opposed to going and starting somewhere, you know, where
you don't have to worry about that.
This year, you don't think someone will give him the shot for somebody who's got an injured quarterback? Some Dallas people brought up Dallas.
Yeah, Cooper Rush to the bench. Trey Lance.
Yeah, I don't know. Would you consider signing Daniel Jones?
I would not. I don't even know if he would want to come here to be a backup. He may just need time to sort of catch his breath and figure out what he wants to do moving forward. That seemed like a pretty emotional goodbye yesterday from him. So I'm not even sure if he can help anybody out on the field right now. And quite frankly, I don't think the team needs the noise.
There would be noise. That's a good argument against it.
That's the only thing. Quite frankly, yeah. I don't think the team needs the noise right now.
Can you imagine, by the way, what it would do to New York Giants fans if, let's say, Jalen goes out in the first quarter of the game.
Daniel Jones comes
leads
in
him to victory.
With Saquon leading us to wins.
Oh, my God. Could you imagine?
It would be nice playing him in that last game of the season when we played the Giants.
And we beat him with Daniel Jones.
Yeah.
Every Giants fan would end up in the Hudson River. They would all jump into the Hudson River.
I'd be okay with that.
Yeah.
So I understand that part of it. I think I'm probably more or less looking at it like...
There would be noise.
It's finally quiet down around this team from the coach to this other stuff, and they're just playing football and winning games. I don't want to mess with that. That's sort of where I'm at on it.
Jack, would you sign Daniel Jones and cut Kenny Pickett?
No. I have no interest in Daniel Jones.
Okay.
He stinks.
He's got the tools. He's got physical tools.
I've heard tools.
He can run. He's got a good arm. Throws a nice ball when he throws it.
It's also blocking. Carson coming back next year to be the backup.
Get out of there with the Carson stuff. Unbelievable. 215-592-9494. Oh, our friend Ken and Cinnaminson. You're on WIP. What's up, Ken?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you today?
Oh, we're great, Ken.
What's up, Ken?
It doesn't surprise me, Spike. I mean, look at the sustained success and how well the whole load management thing has worked out for your boy Joel Embiid and the Philadelphia 76ers.
Completely different situation, Ken. Completely different situation.
It's a completely different
situation. Well, it is. Every running back, save for one or two in the last 25 years of NFL football, if they have 400 touches one year, the next year they're not nearly as successful as they are. I mean, it's just true. That's a fact. And they signed him, and he is the most important. Hold on, Ken. And if you're going to tell me and he is, we're all agreeing he's the most important player on offense, and he is signed again for next year, and he figures to be just as important next year. So if this offensive line, hold on one second, then if this offensive line has been able to be successful with DeAndre Swift, with Miles Sanders, they can certainly have four or five more Gainwell touches a game and be successful.
If I am the owner of an NFL football team and my front office and my head coach is worrying about next year to the point where they are keeping our best players from playing as much as they need to play this year to get us where we need to go, I am firing every single one of them.
Are you kidding? That's exactly what your front office should be doing. It's not what your coach should be doing, but it is exactly what your front office should be doing. Exactly what they should be doing, Ken.
And if the Eagles don't win the Super Bowl this year because they've decided now they're going to limit the amount of times Saquon Barkley touches the football. And let me tell you something. These are going to be the easiest 300 touches Saquon Barkley has ever had in his career.
400.
Because he's averaging 5 yards. He's averaging 400 yards before contact.
400.
5 yards before contact. Okay.
I was going to say, doesn't look like he's taking a real beating this year as a back.
Taking a beating. He's not taking a beating at all.
Okay.
This is going to be.
We don't give him any goal line touches.
Well, that's a good point.
It's going to be a physically easier year on his body than any year he had in New York.
Very easy to say.
New York. He was having to make moves to avoid contact.
Yes, but Ken, those touches happened in New York. You're talking about a running back who spent the first 6 years of his career on the Giant Stadium turf. All those touches happened. So that's an even bigger reason to understand what a difference this can make this year to next year.
You're just wrong. I mean, it's all about winning the Super Bowl this year.
Okay.
And if Saquon Barkley is telling you, and look, I'm not in meetings, I'm not in practice, neither are you. If Saquon Barkley is telling Nick Sirianni, he's telling Moore, hey, man, feed me the rock. I feel good.
Every player says that, Ken.
I'm feeding him the rock until he tells me he doesn't feel good. It's about winning this year.
Before I let you go, Ken, do you want to give your Alec Bohm eulogy before or after they trade him? because he's such a loser. They need to get rid of him.
You're enjoying this.
I've had to admit that I'm wrong for the last 3 days with Joel Embiid. So if you would like to finally concede on Alec Bohm and him and his 12 home runs, and he's such a drain on the clubhouse, they want to get rid of a 28-year-old all-star who makes $9 million a year. If you would like to concede, if you don't want to, that's fine. But if you would like to, here is your opportunity.
This is what I'll concede. I will trade anybody in this organization if it's going to make the baseball team better.
So you're not going to concede on Bohm?
Alec Bohm's a good hitter. Alec Bohm is a good hitter, okay?
Okay.
So I'm not going to tell you that Alec Bohm is not a good hitter.
I'm not saying that. I never said that either.
I will trade anybody in this organization if it makes the team better. So, yeah, if they can make the team better by trading Alec Bohm, see Alec. Wish you well. Hope you do well in Kansas City. And,
Cincinnati.
We'll
New York.
See you, or wherever you go, we'll see you around the bend.
All right. So no concession, really.
No concession.
All right, Ken. Thank you for the call. We will get to your calls. Also get to our friend Nick Costos, give you some bets right after Jack tells you about Price Assure and National Appliance Warehouse.
I'm glad that, see, you're paying attention.
I pay attention to you. Sometimes.
Sometimes.
Well, because I have to pay attention. I turn my back. I know about you. There's a knife sitting around there. I can't turn my back on you.
I would say it was the other way around.
Right, right. That's fair. I knew I walked right into that one.
If you're dreaming of a new kitchen that's innovative with dynamic aesthetics that'll blow you away, you have to get to National Appliance Warehouse and explore Gen Air. Only Gen Air combines rebellious luxury with quality and design. These are high-performance, sophisticated appliances for people who love technology and visual appeal. Gen Air's refrigerators feature a daring obsidian interior, stylish black finish that enhances the look of everything inside. Choose from two distinct design expressions throughout the Gen Air product offering. Rise features a bold, professional look, while Noir is sleek and contemporary. Gen Air's dishwashers also offer the quietest technology available. I'm obviously impressed with Gen Air, and the only place you got to go to for Gen Air products is National Appliance Warehouse, and have their knowledgeable team tell you everything you need to know. Also, you'll get the best price, thanks to Price Assure, like Spike said. It's Black Friday all month long. Right now, instantly save 15% when you package four Gen Air appliances together. See store for details. Visit NationalAppliancesWarehouse.com or their showroom in tax-free Wilmington or Middletown, Delaware today. And as always, tell them Fritz sent you.
Do we have Nick ready yet or no? No. 215-592-9494. Louie in Nebraska. You're on WIP. What's up, Louie?
Fellas, what's going on?
What's up, brother?
What up, Louie?
Now, I always feel like I'm calling up to talk to Spike. Spike, you just need a little patience with Kellen Moore and Jalen, all right? We all know that December football is the most important, and everything is shaping up to find out our identity, okay, going into the later of the season in the playoffs. So I still think the offense needs more time, meaning that Jalen needs to find and Kellen Moore needs to dial up some more in the middle play calls and things of that nature. Because what you need to understand,
it's about the calls. Louie, have you seen the receivers running across the middle of the field wide open that are not getting thrown to? It's not about the calls.
Well, I think there's
come on, man.
That need to be dialed up, bro.
They do dial them up. And Jalen dials up a wait till the defensive end is chasing me down to do anything about it. Come on. I didn't even bring up Jalen today. But this is not about Kellen Moore. It's not about dialing up certain plays. You can watch the last five games, watch the tape of the last five games, and see guys wide open in the middle of the field that he doesn't get to. And even that turnover against the Cowboys, it was in the middle of the field and it was thrown late. Those routes that you're talking about are quick, and he is not getting to them quick enough.
But here's the thing. We're still – I feel like I said, because the most important season – I mean, most part of the season is December and January, we're building up to that. And when the lights get bright, we're not going to fake it, and we're never going to break it. And Saquon Barkley is going to take us to Paradise City. Do you feel what I'm saying, Spike? When the grass is green –
it's a little too close, I think. I think it's a little too close.
I don't know, man. It's a pretty good Saquon.
Thank you for the call, Louis.
I spent about 5 minutes on that.
I didn't know what that was. That was the Saquon thing?
I think we need something horse-related that is not a whinny.
Well, I'm trying to have the gallop in there.
Yeah,
but the gallops aren't fierce enough, so I need the whinny on top of it.
Who is whinny?
No, well, that's when a horse goes. That's a win. Yeah,
that's a good. Wow. Maybe I'll use that.
Yeah, you just want to use that.
That was intimidating.
Yeah, you want to use that. People just think it's Carson. You do that. I think it's too close. Yeah, it's the same noise. What if you just use the gallop?
Make one noise.
What if you just use the gallop?
Yeah, but again, the gallop's not as intimidating.
Who are you trying to intimidate?
The freaking other team listening to the show. So they're scared.
Speaking of which, we are joined now by our friend, sort of, Nick Kostos of You Better You Bet, our Odyssey Sports betting insider. All insider calls presented by BetMGM. Go check out all the latest lines today, the BetMGM app. You can listen to You Better You Bet wherever you get your podcasts, including the Odyssey app. So, Nick, what do you think of my idea for the Eagles to cut Kenny Pickett and sign Daniel Jones to be a backup quarterback?
Honestly, like, I think they should do that. I think Daniel Jones has way more upside than Kenny Pickett. I think Kenny Pickett kind of, like, showed himself to be a loser with what he did basically getting his way out of Pittsburgh because he didn't want to compete for the starting job. So I've been down on Kenny Pickett ever since then. And say what you want about Daniel Jones, but Jones is a tough, not a good quarterback, not a good starting quarterback, but he is a tough guy, always handles himself with class. I actually think that's like a good upside move for the Eagles to do that. I agree with you.
Wow, I'm stunned. I thought I was going to get an Aaron Judge type statement about Daniel Jones.
Well, Daniel Jones was an NFL MVP and then went, you know, one of 24 in the Super Bowl.
That's
so,
fair. That's
good
fair.
Point. Good
I thought
point.
He was at least mock sports radio. You know, that's the Kostos we were getting on the.
Oh, is he a sports radio mocker?
Yeah, sometimes. What
do you mean, Jack?
Yeah, just idiots. You know, they're always making up stuff. Jalen's great. All that. You know.
Well, I mean, like, well, that stuff is stupid. Yeah. But I mean. Like, does anyone disagree with me on the Kenny Pickett? Ike, you played. Like, do you agree with me on Kenny Pickett?
I totally agree with you.
Of course. So, like, I mean, if Jalen got hurt, here comes Kenny Pickett. I think Kenny Pickett has shown himself to be, he's not a foxhole guy, just from my perspective, from what I can tell.
Wow, yeah.
And say, listen, like, who would disagree with that?
No,
though,
I don't disagree at all. No.
And again, like, say what you, I think, Dan, I know, but trust me, I know better than anyone he stinks. But, I mean, with that being said, though, his teammates love him. Like, Dexter Lawrence might be the best offensive player in the league. He came out and said, he's upset. Jones is the best quarterback on the roster, which is like, it doesn't matter for the purposes of this conversation. But like, his teammates love him. Like, who loves Kenny? I guess his family loves him. Who else loves Kenny Pickett?
No.
Get Kenny Pickett out of here, man. That would honestly be, because if Jalen gets hurt, I mean, you're screwed no matter what. But at least you give yourself a better chance with Daniel Jones. I way agree with you on that.
All right. So Eagles, I believe, still 3-point favorites on Sunday night against the Rams. What's your pick there, buddy?
Yeah, well, we're going to come off three, I think, once it's announced that DeVonta Smith is not playing. And that's what we think, right, that he's not going to play?
That would be my
yes,
guess.
Yeah,
yeah.
Didn't practice Wednesday or Thursday, and the last I saw, not seen at practice today. So I think we're going to get another DNP, which means he's either obviously going to be very unlikely to play.
You think that's a half point?
Well, I think in concordance with organic interest in the Rams at the number of three, I think could be enough to get this off of three. So even like yesterday, even before, or Wednesday even, before we kind of knew DeVonta might miss this game, this was hanging out kind of in between 2.5 and 3.
Okay.
So right now at BetMGM, the number is Philly 3, but it is juiced towards the Rams. And for people that don't know what that means, it basically means we're very close to this going to 2.5. And if and when that happens, and it has happened at points this week, if and when that happens, I like the Eagles. I think Philly's a lot better than the Rams. I think Matthew Stafford, very quietly, is not playing that well. And I understand that last week against the Patriots threw for 4 touchdowns. I mean, you can't have a bigger gap between the Patriots defense and what this Eagles defense is now starting to evolve into. And you look, Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp are great, and Kyron Williams is really good. The Eagles defense is excellent, and we saw it last Thursday night. And like, I had the Eagles in that game against the Commanders. Jake Elliott tried his best to screw all of us. Thankfully, that didn't happen. At 2.5, I like the Eagles a lot. I also have bet Saquon Barkley to win Offensive Player of the Year. And I do think, and it does make me slightly sick as a Giants fan to say this, but I do think that there is an avenue, I think it's a narrow one, but it does exist, where Saquon Barkley could be most valuable player in the NFL this season.
Ooh, talk to me. Talk to me, Nick.
and it was bet at a huge number. That number no longer exists. So I can tell you what the number is here right now. Let's see what Saquon is. Saquon right now is 50-1. This was bet down from 150-1.
Yes.
So Patrick Mahomes is 14-1. If the Chiefs lose like two more games, he's not winning. He has no stats. Mm-hmm. So that ain't gonna happen. Jared Goff had he can't win MVP if his team wins when he throws five interceptions, like he did 2 weeks ago on Sunday Night Football against the Houston Texans. The Ravens have four losses already. Like, what happens if the Ravens lose one or two more? He's going to win MVP at 11-6? Is
no.
that going to happen?
No.
Look at the Bills' schedule coming up. Mm. Buffalo's got to play Detroit. Buffalo's got to play San Francisco. What happens if Buffalo loses two games, right? And let's just say that Philly goes 14-3 or 13-4. Let me ask you guys this question, all Eagles fans, this question. Who's getting the credit for Philly going 13-4 or 14-3?
Saquon.
Yeah.
Saquon Barkley.
Yeah. Yep. Well, and I think people forget, Christian McCaffrey, he didn't get any first-place votes last year, but he was in the conversation. He ended up third in MVP voting. So there was a world that he could have gotten it last year.
But a different situation. Well, Purdy was on the same team, Purdy, but like different situation there where you ended up having, and look, we may get that. Like, it's possible, if the Bills nuke down the stretch here, Josh Allen's going to win. That's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
That's what you got. And you had the Christmas game last year when Lamar destroyed the Niners and Lamar won MVP.
Yep.
Lamar won MVP that night.
Yep.
So, it's possible that happens. Like, the Ravens could not lose a game. Goff could throw, 18-0 touchdown interception ratio rest of season. Mahomes could turn on the stats. I'm just saying, I don't think it's impossible that Saquon could potentially do it. He's 50-1, so it's still a long shot. Just saying, I don't think it's impossible that it could happen.
All right, real quick.
And I actually got him at 150-1, Nick.
I jumped on it
when I saw it.
I think it's still a fun bet at 50-1, to be honest.
Yeah, it's not as fun.
Yeah.
But it's still fun.
Give us three great ones for this weekend.
All right, let's start with, how about the, you ready for this, Spike?
Sure.
Are you ready? Are you ready to bet against the best team in football?
Who's the best team?
Well, that would be how about this? The team that has the shortest odds, the favorite to win the Super Bowl.
So you're going to bet against the Lions.
Oh,
we're going to bet against the Lions.
Okay.
Colts +7.5 at home against Detroit. I also have bet Indianapolis to win the game. Smaller bet on the money line, but I think Indianapolis covers. I wouldn't be shocked if the Colts win. Anthony Richardson back in the Colts starting lineup means that this team has untapped potential, and we saw that last week when Richardson was great as the Colts upset the Jets in the Jersey Meadowlands. Now the Colts come home, and if you get like an A game from Anthony Richardson, I definitely think the Colts can go score for score with the Lions and maybe steal a win at home. Great home field advantage. So look, if you're a little queasy, you don't want to take the Colts to win the game, maybe Detroit wins. I do like Indy plus the points, +7.5. Another +7.5 underdog is the New England Patriots on the road, guys, at the Miami Dolphins. Now, I bet Miami last week against the Raiders. So this is not only is this not sour grapes for me, I think I got lucky to win my bet. So Miami beat the Raiders last week 34-19. If you look at the box score, like watch the game, the Raiders basically like played them to a standstill. Like based on the box score, this should have been like a 3-point Miami win. The Dolphins won by 15. I think there's a chance the Patriots have the better quarterback in this game. And that's not meant to be an insult to Tua. That's a compliment to Drake May, who's awesome. The point spread 7.5. I think it's way too big. Give me the New England Patriots plus +7.5. And how about this? You know, on Thanksgiving, everyone wants to talk about turkey. Everyone wants to talk about ham. If I could have my choice, Spike and Ike, do you know what I would want
cutlets
on Thanksgiving? Give me some goddamn cutlets, baby. give me some cutlets, baby. You're going to tell me that the point spread of this game is 6 with the Giants and the Buccaneers? Like, maybe Tampa. I'm not like Tampa could win by 20. It's certainly possible. Just like the point spread's crazy. And there's no way the Giants are trying to tank. Like, the coach and GM know they're getting fired if the spiral's out of control. So, like, this is an indictment on the organization. They think Tommy DeVito gives them the best chance to win. Again, I think 6 is too many points. So, best bet numero tres, Tommy DeVito, Tommy Cutlets, get the Galamad, get your Marinade, get the Mozzarella, Giants +6 against the Buccaneers.
And real quick, give us one prop.
Seahawks Cardinals. on Sunday in the Pacific Northwest. DK Metcalf draws all the headlines in the Seattle Seahawks passing game, but very quietly, second-year receiver, the first receiver picked in last year's NFL draft, Jackson Smith and Jigba, JSN, starting to emerge as a very, very capable option for Geno Smith. JSN's receiving yards prop is in like the mid-50s. I think JSN clears like 80 yards this week against the Arizona Cardinals. Jackson Smith and Jigba over receiving yards. Seahawks against the Cardinals.
All right, buddy. We appreciate it. Good luck with Tommy Cutlets this weekend.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes. Wishing everybody minimal sweats, winning bets. The absolute very best of luck. And if I don't talk to you guys again, happy Thanksgiving.
You as well.
You too, brother.
All right, there he is. Nick Kostos, host of You Better You Bet and our Odyssey Sports Betting Insider. Insider calls presented by BetMGM. Go check out all the latest lines today at the BetMGM app. I want to ask Elliot about the Daniel Jones thing. So we will ask him next. He is in Los Angeles. He made it there, him and his tiny feet. So Elliot Shore Parks joins us next on the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.